tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. It is so good to be back! Officially season 3.
Season 3!
Are you inhuman?
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. We should all buy fish oil and find out.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, we are going to find out a little bit about that and about the laws of nature, talking about Season 3, Episode 1 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let me introduce my fantastic panel, Jesse Klein.
Hi, how's everyone doing? Guys, we're back. I'm so excited. You can find me at JessKlein1. That's J-E-S-S-K-L-E-I-N, the number one.
Zach Wilson.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitter, tweet throughout the show, throughout the week. I got the computer going, so we'll see the live chat at that Zach Wilson.
Joyce. Tweet us, chat us. You can tweet me at JAJOURI. That's Jay Ajuri.
Nice.
Yay! Okay, so first of all, does everybody just want to get out there how satisfied we are with tonight's episode? This was a hell of an opening.
That's the perfect word to describe this. It was so satisfying. We found out basically all the questions we were asking last week during the recap.
Yeah, it was a really good episode in that they answered questions that we needed answered as far as like what the last episode set up. And then it also set up for the rest of the season. Like, it did a really good job of laying groundwork for, like, what we're going to see for at least the first half of this season in that, you know, the whole finding the Inhumans and, like, figuring out, like, who's this other team? and who's the giant Sonic the Hedgehog?
That crazy Super Saiyan 3.
Yeah. Can't wait to get to that guy.
Oh, man.
The violent Muppet.
Yeah.
I love it.
I started a list.
Just things we're going to call him. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a ton of fun.
Or we just call him Lash.
Lash.
Fine, if you want to be all boring with it. But we'll save our burns for later on in the episode. Guys, we also want to hear what you guys think about tonight's episode. So if you guys are watching the live stream, we are following along with the hashtag ABTVShield, as always. And Zach has the wonderful live chat pulled up.
Yes. The live chat's already like 100 comments deep, at minimum.
Last I checked, they're really deconstructing everything for us.
That's our job, you guys.
Come on.
Don't take our jobs.
Like, that it never ceases to amaze me or make me feel feelings just hearing about how engaged all of our fans are.
Yeah.
Not only with us on Twitter and on other forms of social media, but on the live chat and on iTunes. Again, we'll get to that later. You guys are awesome. You guys are the best. Like I said, I'm always blown away with how great you guys are.
I have to say, when I'm not on the S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast or when, you know, it's on hiatus for the season, I don't get any tweets. Okay, I get some tweets. But when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes on, every day I have tons of cool messages to go through on Twitter. So it's awesome. Thank you for keeping me entertained and stimulated during the show.
You guys
and
the
before
best.
The show.
You guys, you guys are great. Although I will say, just kind of as a reminder, is that we watch the show at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And while we love your enthusiasm, if you guys could please wait to tweet direct spoilers at us. I know you guys are excited and it's a ton of fun to live tweet. But if you guys could refrain from telling us exactly what's going on Twitter so we don't have to avoid social media, we'd really appreciate it.
When Zach and I did the Daredevil podcast, because we blind watched it. We were watching it every week instead of going through it.
It took us seven weeks.
We were like, the fans were so good at not doing spoilers. Like, we weren't spoiled ever.
So
on
you
anything.
Guys can wait 3 hours is all we're saying. Okay. Can we get into that?
Yes.
Just to your point before, This episode, the best thing it did was give us, like, there's no more, I'm like, in season two, we kept talking about this thing, and we didn't even get to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing I really liked is, like, Quake is Quake. Like Daisy, like, there's no, like, oh, she's gonna have to train or control her powers. Because that's, like, a thing I feel like a lot of TV shows would do, or storylines in general, where it's, like, now we've got to see her, like, developing control over her powers and stuff like that. She's just full on, like, blowing cars away.
Yeah,
and,
she's like, been practicing.
Yeah. I do like that this substantial time jump has allowed us to just establish a couple things, and certain characters are in certain places, and we don't have to question it, because time has passed.
Yeah.
I like how this hit the ground running. Like, just from the start, everything was already in place for us. We didn't have to do any sort of guesswork.
I just kind of comparing this to the season two opener, because we recapped all of season two last week, and so we rewatched the entire season. Kind of comparing this to that, it's still really serious, but I feel like with the brighter colors and the less kind of shadowy lighting and everything like that, and just the fact that the Inhumans are pretty much out in the open now, I feel like this opening in particular was a lot less dark than season two, because season two was a very dark season, and I feel like in terms of starting off, we're starting off on a little bit of a lighter foot, but things are still very, very serious.
But go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, that's a really good point, and it's actually perfect that we're in this studio of our new ones, because it is much more. We're in, like, the future of technology now. Yeah.
Oh, the future!
Welcome to the land of tomorrow!
Oh, no. Hydra! Okay, we're back. We're in blue again. Blue again. but my point, for those who are listening to this, the lights were just flashing a lot.
We did not experience an earthquake, Daisy.
Whereas last season we were in an underground bunker, we were hiding.
Yeah.
And not that S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't still hiding, but this is like hiding in like the height of like a spy agency. This is S.H.I.E.L.D. as S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Not S.H.I.E.L.D. as like the we've got to like hide from Hydra S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. I was going to say it's sort of a testament to like, yeah, everything is still sort of, you know, they're working on a lot of things still, but I feel like things are more clear to them, and they know what's going on. They know how to handle themselves, and, you know, especially Daisy, who has now come out of, like, the darkness, if you will. So
that's a really good way of putting it, because Price remarks that they've risen from the ashes, and you guys hit the nail on the head. They're no longer a fractured organization. They know who they are. They know who their mission is. They know who they can trust.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of... It feels like a big organization again, too. It doesn't feel weird to see S.H.I.E.L.D. interns running around.
No, it's not. like those, where is
those
she?
Few times that we saw a few like S.H.I.E.L.D. where interns in the back just looking awkward while an argument's going.
Where is that woman?
we never saw her again.
No, she was a ghost.
but this is a S.H.I.E.L.D. that is fully functional. They could fund, design, and build the bus 2.0.
Yeah.
Which...
Or the new bus, I think, Jesse.
I wrote it with just NU with an umlaut over it, bus.
I like Nubus.
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 Yeah.
Like, it's the Swedish chef from the Muppets.
And I like how the showrunners kind of, they introduced us to all of this new stuff by introducing us to a new character. So as the character is seeing all of this for the first time, we as an audience are seeing it for the first time as well.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about him?
It's like a very efficient way of introducing a new character while still establishing all of the old stuff. Because now we are seeing all this new stuff and seeing the new character react to all of it as well.
Yeah.
So we get Joey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joey. Poor Joey, whose inhuman ability is to melt metal, I guess, which we were thinking, oh, maybe he can like manipulate metal, but it just seems to be melting metal, which is kind of a downer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, much like Daisy, I had to control that.
Are we going to have to set a sky jar just like the writers?
I can't afford it. But Daisy, when we first, when she was first getting her powers, all she could do was make the earthquake.
Yeah.
And now she can throw people and like probably explode a guy's heart if she wanted
if
to.
If she wanted to. Or his brain like scanners. Yeah. That would be cool.
Dark. Scanners?
Yikes.
Not on an ABC budget.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Network TV.
So I think this guy could use, maybe could use his powers to reverse what it is if he learns to control it.
Yeah.
The question is, like, is he even going to be around?
I was going to say, I'm curious to find out if they, unfortunately, maybe will kill him off in the next few episodes before he learns how to actually control what's going on in his body.
I mean, the guy, the actor himself, was super strong. I was really impressed with it. Mm-hmm. Like his very real reactions to learning about, like, by the way, your life is no longer what it was, mm-hmm. and, like, all that kind of stuff. And, like, when he first started laughing,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I think I would laugh. Like,
that's
this is
incredibly
improbable.
Human.
Like,
yeah.
Up until recently, coming out as gay was like the hardest thing he'd ever had to do.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it is the probably the best comparison in terms of real world situations.
Well, that used to be the X-Men metaphor. That's very much the X-Men metaphor. Yeah. So it's
but
fitting
we don't
that
say those words.
Well, it's fitting that it works with the Inhumans as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything in the Inhumans arc that they're doing
is
very much
by the X-Men.
The X-Men storyline, and that's I'm X-Men. Fine with it. It doesn't bother me. They're not like it's so far. It hasn't done anything that it feels like it were like you're. It we know that it's in place of the mutants.
Yeah,
nothing feels shoehorned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I love the comparison that the guy is that he struggled with being gay and coming out, and he struggled to set himself up with a new life, and now that's been ripped away from him.
Yeah, and that was probably the second most heart-wrenching thing in this episode, apart from the end before we, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But the most heart-wrenching thing is just him having this breakdown of, I like my life. I liked who I was. I worked very hard for this life to be, like, content, let alone happy.
And it sounds like he just got it in order for himself, too.
Yeah, because he just went through a breakup and everything.
This is an interesting point that Anila Lal in the chat role is making, and I'm trying to think, Jesse, I think she might be right. Is this the first LGBT MCU character?
In the cinematic universe?
Yeah, MCU.
I think so.
I can't think of any character who displays that behavior on screen or is mentioned.
Yeah, or has come out as that.
Wasn't Victoria Hand supposed to have a thing?
But it was never mentioned and never made a point.
They made a point of like mentioning that they had been close and that they had correspondence. But yeah, I think that was just kind of a subtle wink for those who had known about it.
But but Joey is, they're openly discussing it. And that's a good point. I mean, I don't think it's something that Marvel has directly avoided, but it is good to see that they're doing it, even if it's in a smaller character now.
And the comic books have always been really good at including, like, all sorts of different types of minorities into their world. They've always had a lot of LGBT characters, especially in, like, New Mutants and, like, New Mutants and, and, like, Young Avengers have had a lot of alternative lifestyles, which I think is really cool that Marvel's really changed with the times.
Mm-hmm.
Where those stories become more interesting because of superpowers and, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the fact that Marvel itself as just an entity continues to evolve, we get things like, you know, people and characters like Miles Morales, Kamala Khan, they're being more inclusive is only helping their storytelling. I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Anna, for making that point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
No, that's a good point. I mean, obviously when we saw it, I think we all had the same, like, oh, that's great that they're making that comparison.
Yeah.
But I hadn't clicked that was the first time.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that ties into, like, his resolution with it. He's like, I've lived with a secret before. Mm-hmm. it's a step back for him. It's going to be difficult, but he's going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I liked that this process, it's similar to what Daisy went through, but at the same time, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is now directly involved with everything, every Inhuman that pops up, it's a very different world because these people don't know what's going on and they don't know how to explain it, and it's becoming, in the words of the president, an epidemic.
Yeah, as cool as New Boost is,
it can't be everywhere at once.
It's not as relaxing as Afterlife was. Like it's not a hidden village where there's someone who's doing acupuncture on
you. These crazy government officials shooting at you, and then you hop into this Willy Wonka elevator,
and then
you're shot up into the sky.
That thing is so cool.
Yeah, It's the reverse cage that the Hulk was put in the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of it dropping, it goes up.
But it's very cool.
It's an easy extraction. Like we don't need explanation on anything. Like, it's just like, just extract.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of this government organization, let's talk about the ATCU, which ordained by the president, which I was surprised to see the president in this episode. I was like, whoa, that's a thing. So let's talk about Rosalind Pryce, who's leading this organization, because for the majority of the episode, we think that they're not only detaining Inhumans, but also murdering them and dissecting them.
Yeah, I mean, we want, like, it makes sense to give us, and it's great writing, to give us them as just a true villain at the top. And we're totally like, they're evil. The threat, what are they, the ACTU?
The ATCU,
That's how we know they're not going to be good. Their name doesn't spell a word.
They're not even Hammer.
If you add the umlaut over the U.
It's not Hammer, it's not Sword, like, no one cares.
I wonder if that says something about how long they're going to be sticking around.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're not going to get absorbed into another government entity, but I love Hammer. Although Rosalind has been given a great deal of power, you know, in terms of the U.S. government, and we see that S.H.I.E.L.D. still, I don't know how they're doing their financing, for one, to be able to afford
that
a U.S.
That was my question. I was like, Stark. That makes sense.
That's the only thing I can think of is Stark money. But
I was like, it can't be the government. The government's backing this.
I mean, Stark plus, if it's S.H.I.E.L.D. as, like, it exists in the comics, like, they probably have a PSYOPs team who can just all, like, they have a special PSYOPs team devoted to the stock market.
Maybe. Go ahead.
Yeah, they probably just have an Inhuman and not a mutant that just makes money. They probably just have...
Just driving up inflation rates.
Yeah. It's a possibility.
Yeah. I don't think that's quite how it works with banks.
You have a mutant that just has gold, and it just makes gold
that
all the time.
Might work. Yeah.
But
the alchemist.
Gold balls. Oh, wait, he's a mutant.
Yeah. Or Midas.
Gold dust, also a mutant.
My thinking is that they're kind of like the Men in Black. They own the patents on a few gadgets.
Yeah.
And they
probably
watch that money roll in.
I buy that.
Yeah. But anyway, so Rosalind, I loved Constance Zimmer in this. She was just fantastic as this very opposing force. But then when you find out that they're not tracking these people down to specifically murder them, all of a sudden you kind of see that bit of human frailty of, wait a minute, you're not the bad guy in this scenario? Because she thinks Coulson and his team are the ones going down and tracking these people down and murdering them in cold blood.
Yeah,
they both had the wrong idea about each other.
Yeah, Coulson's, wait, is this still KGB?
I love that.
You're telling the truth.
They were
That's
on
fantastic.
It, constantly
yeah.
one-upping each other. It was getting better each time.
Her Tahiti comment was like,
brilliant.
Oh, man, zinger.
Yeah.
I love how he goes on a nickname basis and calls her
Roz.
Yeah, look here, Roz.
So do we think she's our new Talbot for this season, or do we think that maybe, even though they kind of seem on equal footing right now, that she is going to become maybe more villainous or maybe become an ally?
At this point, I see her becoming an ally. I mean, we're still on the first episode, obviously, but I think they purposely made that, as you called it, human frailty moment where they sort of like related to each other for a second. I think that was purposeful and maybe foreshadowing to what's going to come between the two of them later.
Yeah, I think this could follow a very similar arc to what we got from Talbot
last year.
I agree.
Where it goes from like rivals to reluctant partners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they, from what it seems like, they have more or less the same goal. I think inevitably, just because I know when this season ends and what movies are coming out in the next year, eventually I bet I'd put anything on those two becoming the S.H.I.E.L.D. facsimile, like the B-level facsimiles for Steve Rogers and Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And I actually am torn on which side I think Coulson would wind up on.
Hmm.
I think he could easily fall into we could talk about this later, but he could easily wind up on either Cap or Iron Man's side.
Yeah.
Or Freedom.
Yeah, because both, they're like, much like we had last season between the argument with Real S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, the actual Real S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that, you know, safety versus privacy and, you know, freedoms argument, that's something that basically is the basis of Civil War. So, I like her, and I like Constance Zimmer, and I like the fact that she's kind of an antagonist, but they've made her not a terrible person per se.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chat in the hashtag going on as to whether or not Rosalind is actually her name, or if it's not a stand-in for another name.
Abigail Brand?
Yeah. That's the name being thrown around.
She could be an Abigail Brand. Well, the whole thing that makes me think of Abigail Brand, for those of you who are not comic book fans, she is the head of S.W.O.R.D., which is basically S.H.I.E.L.D., but for the galaxy. Like, or like, out of...
it's a heck of a lot better than the ATC.
Yeah, like, like, basically extraterrestrial threats. Like, instead of it worrying about what's going on Earth, it's worried about what's going on in the universe.
That could work. I mean, they're not necessarily in the same Like, S.W.O.R.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. are two sort of separate organizations. Yeah. They're friendly.
They're friendly. But they work together, are separate. Yes. And the thing that makes me think of Abigail Brand was the whole stuff with NASA, where Abigail Brand spent a lot of time in outer space as a child, and then also did a lot of stuff with NASA.
And she did make a very big point of like the space agency and the DOD are not sitting at different tables anymore.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you've dealt with as many alien invasions as the Earth and the MCU has gone through in the past 5 years...
you need an organization.
Yeah, you need a response team.
And
you
also need Abigail, synergy. Also, Abigail Brand feels like a big enough named character that she deserves to be portrayed somewhere, but not necessarily big enough that she needs to be in the movies.
It would be a good time to sort of begin to establish her if they want to get her into the Captain Marvel movie in a few years.
Yeah.
But only, like, a small, like, introductory, like, torch pass kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So that could be... And it's a good enough actress that you could do
that. She's great. I do want to point out Haywood on the chat, and this is something only I'll appreciate. I apologize. But it says, listening to Constance Zimmer tonight, can't help but think of Strong Arm. You know, I know what you're talking about. She plays a character named Strong Arm in Transformers. So I'm a big fan of that. She's great. Anyway, do you guys have any more thoughts on her? Or are you guys ready to move on?
I think that the writers really enjoyed writing that banter between the two of them.
Oh,
so I think,
such a great scene.
I think in the future we're going to see a lot of Coulson, Roz, tete-a-tetes.
Shipping, even. Yeah,
some
tete-a-tetes.
So maybe some shipping.
E. Dyson in the chat room says that Fox may own Brand. It is a little bit... I don't know how... I mean, I don't know how they would... It
because
may be
she dated Beast for a while. And
yeah,
she might have
been
introduced in... Oh, she might have been introduced in that run of...
Fantastic Four.
Of
that's
X-Men.
Probably buried under
maybe.
Like, a
we'll,
bunch of
I'll
licensing
tell you what, guys,
documents
yeah.
somewhere.
We will dig into this. I will try to go this week and dig into
Abigail
Brand and see if we can figure out who owns her.
Yeah,
it may be a Scarlet Witch
situation.
Where they'll have to ask for the licensing.
Well,
or maybe
they both have the rights, technically.
Yeah. Or it could be that, they couldn't get the rights, and so they created this persona of Rosalind
to
fill that void. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Bobby and Hunter, because poor Bobby has been recovering from her terrible ordeal. She's still not at 100%, but I love that she looks like she's very much in recovery. Like, when I heard initially that's where she was starting out, I thought recovery meant, like,
in a bed somewhere.
Yeah. Or, you know.
I thought the same thing. Like, I forgot until you just said that. But yeah, that's exactly what I assumed.
And again, I give it to the writers. Like, that's a very easy, like, story to go through where Bobby is kind of frail for the first few episodes. But she's, like, back in it. She's, like, using... She's part of the science team right now.
Yeah. Which I feel like for her... I mean, she'd much rather be out in the front line. So I feel like for her being in the lab, which is weird to begin with for Bobby, but for her being there is... maybe just as bad as being bedridden in
recovery. No, you can tell she hates it.
Well, she's covering for both Fitz and Simmons. Like, both of them are missing. Like,
I was so happy to see her in a lab coat. Yeah. And, like, that. Well, like, acknowledging that this character is, like,
she's a scientist,
and is, like, not just great in the field, but is a biochemist.
She's well-rounded, as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent should be.
Yeah.
She looks so bored.
I know.
She's like,
she's so bored she dyed her pink.
But that's a real... I feel like that's also a very real thing for a character to go through. Like, just because you are good at something. Like, you see that a lot, especially with, I think, musicians is a big thing. Yeah. Where, you're, like, you're very good at this thing, but it's not what you love. And in this case, what she loves happens to be beating people up and, like, going into the field and...
Hitting people general, with batons.
Yeah, general violence with
general
electric.
Violence.
But, well done.
That was
well
amazing.
Sorry, guys.
Way to go, you broke Zach.
but she does still have that knowledge, and she can turn it on in a moment, like a light switch, and go into... biology mode.
Yeah. But I think you can tell that she's got a little bit of cabin fever when she's got the gun and she's like, live fire, boom, 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 boom.
All
the scientists are like, oh.
All those poor interns.
Yeah.
And can we talk about Coulson's hand, like, just on display in front of her?
Okay, so it was... I mean, we all knew he was going to have a robot hand.
Wait, wasn't that his hand on display in her
Yeah, it was.
That was so creepy.
Yeah.
It's his old hand just gripping it.
Gripping the freaking Terrigen crystal.
I feel like it's not there for study. I feel like it's just there now for memorial.
Well, I'm going to predict that at some point in the series, there's going to be a fight in that lab, and someone's going to get pushed into that and, like, grab the Terrigen crystal and turn into stone.
No,
or turn into...
a Coulson.
An inhuman.
Still maintain that we don't know what would have happened to Coulson had he had the crystal just fully engulfed him. I genuinely think that, like, there's a point in showing that in the lab that is coming back. And who knows? Coulson might become an inhuman by the time,
like,
this season's done.
It's their way of reminding us, like, it's still here and it's here for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't... I will say, I don't think he could be inhuman, because if he was, he would have reacted to the GH formula exactly the same as Daisy. And, like, because Daisy got the same formula as Garrett and as Coulson, but she, even when she saw the writing, did not have that reaction.
So she was already inhuman prior. We know that based on her heritage.
Yes.
We know that. I'm wondering if getting the... because none of the other people who had gone through the Tahiti program... none of them managed to make it to the city and managed to get, you know, access to Terrigen. And so it makes me wonder whether or not the GH formula was included that DNA component that would have essentially made the reaction of him becoming an inhuman.
That would be interesting. I would think it would have an effect. I don't know if it would make an inhuman, but it could do something very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Could turn him into a door. Who freaking knows?
No, that's just regular inhumans.
Just thing. Human who turns into a
His
door.
Name but, is Eldrick.
There's an inhuman who turns into a stapler. There's a human that turns into a paper cutter.
That's so sad.
I swear there's a brief moment where I'm like, I can't tell you.
No.
That is the saddest
no,
thing.
No, there's just the door.
The fact that we can't tell. But I want to get back to Hunter a little bit, because for the majority of this episode, he's avoiding talking to her. And so... We're led to believe that when she said at the end of the season that she can't do this anymore, that means them. They're done for good.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case at all. They're still getting together on a regular basis, so much so that she wants to go with him on his mission to essentially dismantle Hydra and probably shoot Ward in the face.
Yeah. I believe she will go with him some one way or another.
Well, I mean, we've got that show coming up. That's probably...
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It's a hint.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that entire scene is like the... Like, the most weirdly, like, the whole marriage fake-out thing and, like, that whole thing, it was very oddly handled, but at the end I was satisfied with it, but while it was happening, I was very...
Like, where is the scene?
Yeah, I was like, this feels very weird.
I thought there was a proposal happening for a moment, or that they were, when they first started, like, you're not supposed to see the bride, I was like... Are they getting married to
again?
Like,
what?
it felt like a teleplay. Like, it was very oddly handled for me.
It was a little bit odd. I'm not sure where that's going.
I was confused because before their interaction, you know, they weren't talking to each other, and all of a sudden we find out they were...
They're still sleeping together.
They're still sleeping together, and Mac wasn't surprised that they were having that moment when earlier he was like... Wasn't he inquiring about them?
He was concerned that his action or that Hunter's actions were going to tear the team apart.
And Hunter publicly said, like, "Oh, I don't want to give that to Bobby."
Yeah, which confused
was weird.
Me.
Yeah.
Because now they're here and they're comfortable, and they've obviously been talking and sleeping together, and she clearly still loves him. She wants to keep that, you know,
maybe
ring
what
as a memento.
Maybe what he was avoiding was having to tell her that he was going to do this alone. Because he had promised her that when she was back to 100%, that's when they would do it.
Oh, I can believe that, yeah.
And so when he made the decision that, no, I'm gonna do this solo to make this guy pay before he gets away, you know, that's a conversation you have to have. But, you know, especially to somebody who is your partner that you do care about, that you are sleeping with, that you're together but not together with, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my only guess is that...
That makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
She would want to be a part of it more than anything.
Yeah.
They did release a comic, and I think I'm like most of the way through. I didn't finish it yet. I was like reading it today. And didn't, but like where they like reintroduce Lance Hunter into the like the 616 comics universe where he like it's... It's from Bobby's perspective, and she's like she's like they literally like have a graphic of like Clint Barton and Hunter like next to each other, and she's like, it's a different guy, same mistake.
Perfect.
That's amazing.
But I think they are building him up to be a fun, and exciting character. I think there's going to be more to him than we've seen.
Yeah.
I really like him as a person. Like, he just feels real. Like, he is also a voice of... He's one of the show's voices of reason.
Yeah.
Like,
and
he's the
a guy you can have a drink with.
Yeah.
You can just be friends with. You can talk about your relationship with. Like, he's just... But he's a badass agent.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Speaking of badass, what about Fitz?
God, Fitz!
Okay. That,
Before we get to Fitz, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much for taking the time to go and comment on iTunes, to leave a 5-star rating, to tell us what you think of our after show. Guys, we have over 420 reviews.
What?
And if it hadn't been for you guys, we wouldn't have reached our goal of 400 at the end of last season, which is why we cosplayed at the end of the season. And you guys commented when we were in the off season. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And
we have 422 ratings, which is, but the number that's more staggering to me is that in those ratings, it is, we broke 300 customer reviews on iTunes.
That is amazing.
Not just clicking, but like people, 300 people.
Physical comments.
One people actually took the time.
You're
for
keeping
comment.
Us alive, people.
Thank you so much.
And do we have any? I know it's really tough to find in the iTunes store in terms of like trying to filter it and everything. But do we have new comments from?
Yeah,
we're off.
Oh
the
yeah,
air?
We do. Sphinx YVAC says, "I just finished catching up on the second season, and now I'm enjoying the heck out of your podcast. Great combo of views and character meta, etc." Also, the shipping is hilarious. Raymond Sinclair says, I recently found this podcast and it's been so helpful. I'm currently binge watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and after each episode I take a break to listen to this wonderful panel.
Oh, thanks, Raymond.
Keep up the good
work.
It's
so hard to do, Raymond, like a binge watch.
Awesome.
Yeah,
because you click on the next episode. Exactly.
Yeah. Netflix does it for Raymond. You automatically.
Yeah. Guppy 66 says, I love the podcast and the cast is awesome and real, giving great theories every day and a very funny panel. Can't wait for the late nights and season 3 with these awesome people.
Aww. Thank you, Guppy.
Mama Little 7 is back. Hope you guys and girls are enjoying the break. Can't wait for the return of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and this awesome podcast. Anthony Wickizer says, can't wait for the podcast's return. The more details that leak about S.H.I.E.L.D.'s new season, the more excited I am getting. Then makes me excited for this consistently great AfterBuzz podcast. Aww. The two have almost become inseparable in my mind, which is the highest compliment we can possibly give us. Because this is a great show. So the fact that we can even be mentioned in the same breath, which, I mean, granted, we're an after show, so you kind of have to, but Frozone21 says, welcome back, guys. I consider myself the worst nerd ever. Uh-huh. I like video games, but don't play them as often as I could. I love sci-fi, but I've not seen many shows or movies. And more germanely to the purpose of this review, I've never read a comic book in my life, so I love your after show because it's nice to listen to you guys make references and explain potential storylines for someone like me whose only exposure to Marvel is via the cinematic universe. I have a constant debate in my own head as to whether or not I'm 29 years old is too old to start reading comics.
It's not.
Frozone, buy a comic book.
I mainly read like Simpsons comics as a kid. Like Marvel was more of a like later obsession.
Yeah, I feel like Marvel gives you like as someone who read Marvel as a kid and as an adult, I feel like it gives you two very different kind of things. Like as a kid, I really kind of the X-Men was what I really connected with because it was a lot of like growing up issues. And then as an adult, like I like the bigger arcs and like seeing like the kind of the way it reflects our society and like how it comments on like all the sorts of social issues, and especially like privacy is brought up quite a bit in the Marvel universe right now. So like I think comic books, like all art, are a reflection on like where our world is going.
Yeah, totally.
And I think it's like they used to be considered things for kids, but I think it, like as our kind of culture keeps going, like they're definitely a valid form of art. And like,
totally.
So Frozone, buy a comic book.
Yeah. And on your note, Frozone, yeah. I started reading them just a few years ago. I love them, and I'm around your age. I won't say what number, but I'm right there with you.
Plus or minus 10 years.
Yeah, and if it makes you feel better, I didn't actually get to read a lot of Spider-Man comics from the 90s until I was in high school, because they all belonged to my older brother. And then he left for college, and I'm like,
mine now. Quick. And this is a great time to jump into Marvel starting next week, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday, they launched the Invincible Iron Man as the first of Marvel's complete reset on their numbering and storylines. So like, it's a perfect time to jump in.
Totally.
Including a lot of Inhuman storylines and S.H.I.E.L.D. storylines that are going to bleed into this show, which can segue us back into talking about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Let's do that. Yeah. Any other new comments?
Well, are we still talking about, like, what was going on? Can we get into Fitz and the Scroll?
I was wondering if there were any more iTunes comments. But
that was it for iTunes.
Let's talk about, we're done with iTunes. Let's talk about Fitz, because holy cow, he was so badass in this entire sequence, because as we mentioned, Bobby's been covering for him in the lab while he has been tirelessly tracking down leads, trying to figure out what has happened to Gemma, because they know that the monolith ate her, and so he's been looking all over the world, which I'm going to be honest. I thought he would be very similar to where he was at the beginning of season 2.
Yeah.
Like tirelessly researching, but like not taking care of himself, totally being lost and forlorn. The fact that he is like kicking down doors and taking names and knocking out terrorist groups.
And speaking Arabic of all...
Better
than I think any of us could.
Yeah, that's very true.
This is the season for his growth and for his badassdom, and I mean it's the season for everyone's growth, really. I mean, everyone hit the ground running.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, I thought he was going to be in the state he was last season as well, but it makes perfect sense that he's moved on from that point and he's back as Fitz, but maybe a better version of Fitz.
I mean, he's got facial hair. So
he's got a little scruff.
As we know, that makes you a better person.
That's not fair.
Yes.
And
whatever, we have long hair.
And, and his, as
like, right, kind of
as a male identifying person, facial hair makes you a better person.
Okay,
well,
thank
we'll
you.
See. Joyce shortened her hair.
I'm following Daisy's pattern.
She's our
which
Daisy.
I didn't know was happening when I cut my hair, but I'm happy I did.
I was so happy to see Chloe Bennett with short hair.
Yeah, which she looks awesome.
Yeah.
With the short hair. I love that they're like. They didn't need to go all the way to the Daisy of the books where she's got like the
it's a very cut. It's a very short cut.
Yeah, yeah. She's
it's a yeah. What cut?
It's my
a Jesse
cut.
Klein.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the gauntlets.
It's a Jess Klein one.
Yeah, Jess Klein one.
Which I was wondering if Joey would have the ability to morp.
Morph.
Warp. I meant to say warp or morph, and I combined the two.
I thought it was some crazy sci-fi term I'd never heard of.
Let's make it that, okay? Let's save
He's got
my,
the ability to morph.
Which, yeah, I thought he would have the ability to mess with her gauntlets. Her gauntlets.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Potentially, really? She wasn't wearing her gauntlets in when she walked into the room.
Yeah. No, but in the beginning.
Yeah,
but I don't think he necessarily... The reason he melted the guns, I think, was because he perceived them as a threat.
Okay.
And it was like his inhuman instinct was kicking in and destroying the things that were threatening him. Everything else was just like... Him sort of interacting with one way or another.
And we don't know what material her gauntlets are made out of, to be fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to Fitz.
Yeah.
Okay, so he trades a Trojan horse splinter bomb.
Yeah.
For this dead sea scroll, basically.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that
plan.
Supposedly it has an explanation for what the monolith is, and it's his best lead that he's tracked down so far. And actually, you guys had a really great explanation for what this thing is.
Yeah, being members of the tribe, we both are kind of familiar with golem lore, where ancient like Hebrew mysticism basically is you could make the earth come alive if you wrote the word truth in Hebrew on clay, and then you could destroy it if you erased the first letter of it, and it would then read death. And so that... scroll right there had the Hebrew word for death.
That version of death it doesn't translate. We thought it was one thing, but it has like a few different interpretations: death, demise, decease, fate,
yeah,
or mortality,
yeah.
And so Jesse had the.
Maybe if they wrote truth on that. Like thing, it might come alive. Like that might be the way to activate it, like a golem.
I love the idea that could be a golem. Like it melts, it moves. The golem, for anyone who's not familiar, we've seen it in a few different shows recently. I think Supernatural did it.
You said Grimm
did it last year.
It's a guardian.
It's a guardian who is instructed to protect. One person, and from all threats, and it's made of clay, and it can sort of become clay and take a more human form to protect whoever it has been chosen to protect. This very well may be protecting someone
that we don't know yet.
I mean, Fitz did basically figure out that it's a black hole, and we sort of got that. Confirmed.
Yes, but like maybe if it's like the origin of golem lore, if like this was the first thing that kind of spawned that
you could. If you're trying to protect somebody, you just push them into the black
just
hole.
I'm wondering
if this, if it is a golem, if it's meant to protect humanity. Because the Inhumans, when they found out about it, were very concerned that this was the thing meant for their extinction. It could mean the death of their race. And we know that the Kree think of them as an abomination, as a mistake.
It could be a failsafe. yeah, in a way. Like the if you're building up a warrior like tribe, basically an experimental warrior tribe, it makes sense to like basically put in a ripcord, like if it goes wrong, which they said it did on
contingency.
These experiments went wrong on every other planet they tried on. So if this is the reset button, like you just ship them off to a moon somewhere. So, yeah.
or maybe it could transform in some way and actually, you know, act as a way to systematically take them out, or yep, even like erupt in the same way that the Terrigen Mist does, only it kills all Inhumans.
This, it has like those weird hole, like square holes on it, mm-hmm, which to me means it's part of something bigger, that it like connected to something.
Like it's a piece of a puzzle.
Yeah, like it's a piece of multiple things.
Yeah.
Something's missing from
it. Yeah, that there's something that connects to it. So, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
But
Fitz, apparently his option with it is just shoot shotgun and pound on it with fist.
I thought he was just going to start shooting it.
I did too.
He was like, you want to be death? That's fine. I'll give you death.
Well, oh my God. That... his performance.
Yeah. It's the most moving thing that he and Jamie Stecker has done in the show.
Yeah.
Desperation and... yeah, and just pure pain and anguish for the fact that she's gone.
And I was actually...
And then he doesn't know what to do.
That, like, basically Coulson has had to take him aside now and basically say, accept it, she's gone.
Especially since he knows he saved her once before. And, like, the fact that he can't do it again, I mean, it's eating away at his character.
Exactly.
I love his refusal to accept it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, I mean, it's great drama, but it's also just, like... again, it's so real.
And it was great at that, like in that last scene, because the whole episode he was calm and he seemed to have composure and he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But then at the very
end, he had a mission. Yeah.
He had a mission, and I think acceptance was finally setting in before he went in there and just started yelling at the monolith.
And we also kind of get a hint to, there were a lot of references to what has happened in the Marvel Universe since S.H.I.E.L.D. ended. We get a hint that he thought maybe it was PIM technology, mm-hmm, he thought it was the Microverse, which is just a great little shout out there. We got a lot of Sokovia shout outs.
Yeah, because the world is different now.
Yeah.
But it was a nice reminder that, like, the events of Ant-Man, like, they did happen in this universe. And S.H.I.E.L.D. was absolutely paying attention.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Let's not forget, by the end of Ant-Man, there's a little vial of rip-off Pym particles running around.
Yeah, I think that's what the show does a really good job.
Sorry, Megan. That wasn't actually a big spoiler to the plot of the episode. So
not at all.
For anyone, it's just a minor thing, well, I'll save it for prediction.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think that's what the show does a great job, is it reminds us that it's in-universe, but it didn't really feel like it was hitting us over the head. Like, it felt like, yes, there are... those things happen, but this story is what's important right now. Like, it doesn't feel like just a supportive thing.
Yeah.
It's its own separate entity.
Yeah, it's one of those things that still makes S.H.I.E.L.D. approachable to maybe people who haven't gotten caught up on all the Marvel movies yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, for those who have, it's like, hey, guys, you know, we're up on things. Everything's all right.
Yeah.
It's still the same world.
So before we... should we finish up with, like, Gemma before we
go back to Lash, let's talk about this because when Fitz, after he has his very emotional breakdown, which was awesome,
that was great
to watch, we cut to where Gemma's been, and she is running in fear, seemingly for her life, on an alien planet. And now she could be anywhere in the universe. Then they made it very clear that she's on the other end of the universe.
Yeah.
So Kree homeworld, maybe Hala. As you said,
Hala. I was yelling it. But I think I said it last week. I yelled it during the screening.
Yeah. And I don't know. I want to know. Is that where Thanos is?
No, Thanos is on Titan, which is one of Jupiter's moons.
Okay, because I mean the background looks kind of similar.
Yeah,
It could be
Hala. Could be the negative zone, but again, that's probably tied up with the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on the negative zone. That's also like a huge leap.
Yeah,
I think it could. It definitely wasn't the. it didn't look like the moon, though.
No, because there was, like, another planet.
The rocks
and then
were too
big.
Jagged.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's our moon, unless he did say, I mean, it's a black hole. It does warp space and time.
So it could be from
I mean,
whenever.
Like, as soon as he said space and time,
yeah.
My immediate thought was, what if we are going, yeah. I mean, yes, that was, okay, that was my first thought.
That she found a TARDIS of her own last.
My second
thought.
If
the Doctor showed up in this show, I believe all of us would just explode.
And she would freak out too.
Way
so
better
happy.
Crossover than Bones and Sleepy Hollow.
oh my God.
That's a real thing.
That
it's going to.
It's gonna happen. That's a thing.
Anyway, so my second thought after Doctor Who was, what if they're going back? No, what if they're going back to the creation of the Inhumans?
Oh,
like the Kree initially showing up on Earth. Like, it could look different depending on how far back in our history they were they appeared. I don't think they've said exactly how far long ago.
Yeah, I wonder if like then like Gemma is the one who creates the obelisk or like brings the obelisk there. Like, if she's the one who's, like, placing or, like, makes it so that Quake is even a thing that happens, if she's in the past. Lots of time. Time is so
That's a little too wibbly wobbly.
Now, here's
Shield.
The thing. I don't want to. And granted, I know from Interstellar that time is relative. Thank you, movie, for educating me.
Oh, also, love is the only thing that can go
it's
through time and gravity.
Quantitative, right? Yeah. You know, if love can transcend time and space, then Fitz has a shot.
Because he said he loves her. Fitz full on said he LOV'd her.
Yep.
He did. This is the first time he's actually been able to say it because even when he, you know, was willing to sacrifice his life for hers, he couldn't find the
words for it.
He was just kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
And even now, it's just like, yeah.
It's
he
obvious.
Said it, that's it.
It's done.
But anyway, with her, I'm wondering if maybe she was transported to the Kree homeworld, but I'm wondering if this, like, the planet that she's on wasn't specifically designed to, like, have the Inhumans transported there for extermination.
Like
this
a
is a world.
Yeah. She is being, like, chased.
Hunted by,
for
yeah,
sure. Hardcore.
By space
hounds.
So, and it's... It's also possible that, like, the main question I keep seeing in the hashtag is, why did it eat her and transport her there, but has since stopped moving? Mm. Like, if this was something that was meant to take all of the Inhumans back to this place, or if it was meant to exterminate all of the Inhumans, why is it not moving anymore?
Hmm.
I mean, I guess there's the possibility that... No, but it did transport her somewhere.
If it
so
is a golem and it was meant to protect one specific person, maybe that's its way of protecting said person. It's sending them home.
Unless it's met her before in the past because she sent it there to swallow her up.
Now it's getting complicated.
Way too... Like, that's like Doctor Who would pull that stuff.
Yeah.
It would be quite the twist if Gemma finds out that she, you know...
Is the one who swallows herself up.
Is the one who's responsible.
He's
yeah.
a time lord, basically.
Yeah.
She's like, this is everything I've always wanted.
Well, if we dig into that scene a little more, she digs some mud out of the dirt.
And wipes
and covers covers her cut, the cut on her forehead, to mask the blood. So whatever's chasing her, theoretically, can sense or smell her blood.
Yeah. Probably a shark. Space shark?
Space shark.
Probably a space shark.
Land space shark?
Land space shark.
Probably just wants to give her a candy gram.
It's probably space shark.
Creepy. But yeah, no, that, I mean, it means what could be chasing her. It could just be, you know, Kree police enforcer people, or it could very well be an animal or a predator of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a guy with a hammer. Who knows?
God, I'm trying to remember the name of this guy.
Beta Ray Bill. Sorry.
in Annihilation... there was a character that was like specifically a hunter type character that had like these space like hound / sharks that would like hunt down people.
You're really liking this shark.
No, they were like half hound, half shark. And I'll never remember the guy's name, but he was very powerful and very cool. But he was also from the negative zone. So
I am wondering if time-wise, it's been the same amount of time for her as it's been for everybody else back on Earth.
That's a good question.
Because she's been gone for ages, and it's like if she's on an alien planet, how has she been sustaining herself? What has she been eating?
Interesting.
Hmm.
Like for
we'll
her,
find
if it's
out
been
next
a day.
Episode. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
they said
comes
they said
out episode two.
Yeah, they told us that we're gonna find out next week,
and
which is
that,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love you, writers. Yes, that's such a relief.
Supposedly, what they have in store for us with episode two is one of the biggest things they've done.
Like probably reveal Central next week.
Yeah.
What if it's a symbiote? No, it's not a symbiote.
I wish it was.
I like the idea of it being a golem, though.
Saul Pena says she's being chased by Howard the Duck.
It could be Howard the Duck.
Oh my god!
Like, honestly,
nothing's
like,
more terrifying.
Best visual ever.
Trapped in a world he didn't ask for. Yeah.
He escapes the collector just
I mean, I'm trying to think of what it could possibly be, and honestly, I think that she's probably on or Hala or one of Hala's moons, which is the Kree homeworld. But I have no idea. I don't even have a beginning thought of what it could be that's chasing her.
Yeah.
And I don't know what she's doing there. I don't know why. I honestly, like, I'm practically...
There's so many questions.
I'm practically predictionless.
I have a lot of ideas, but as I'm coming up with them, I'm like, no, that's fantastic.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not...
Systematically debunking your thoughts.
Exactly. I don't like any of them.
Yeah.
All right, well, now that we've talked about that and, like, all of the mind-blowing craziness that is, let's go back a little bit and talk about Mac and Daisy and their mission to go get Lincoln. Because Lincoln has rejected his former teachings and is now trying to get back to a normal life, even though he's probably the best person qualified to help any and all Inhumans going through this transition, actually help them come to terms with what's happening to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happens when you find out your mentor is
a crazy lady.
Is crazy and just trying to, like, genocide the entire planet.
He's been eating people.
He's like,
yeah.
I am leaving that church.
Yeah. Just like, woo! That it is very similar to finding out you were in a cult this whole time.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's just trying to get back to normal.
He's getting his doctor on.
And at the same time, we find out that neither the ATCU or S.H.I.E.L.D. is responsible for these people who are dead, and which we knew that with S.H.I.E.L.D. already.
Yeah.
But this is when we get the appearance of Lash, who is tracking down... presumably Lincoln, since he is at the hospital now, and he's willing to blast an energy hole into anybody who stands in his way, regardless of whether they're Inhuman or not. So, Lash, we were commenting last week on what we initially thought of his look, and as you can tell from the beginning of the episode, we aren't necessarily impressed with his weird nubby look.
He looks like he looks like a deviant art Sonic the Hedgehog.
Kind of.
The hairiest WWE fighter.
Yeah, sure. He looks like someone who didn't win on Face Off.
Yeah.
I've seen cosplay wigs better looking than his.
We got a million of them, but
so many.
Here's the thing. I give credit to them for wanting to make a big... scary character that they're trying to keep true to the comic. He's a character in the comics. Like, I think that's awesome. I love that Marvel in general does not shy away from how cheesy comic books can look and, like, be.
Yeah, no, they embrace it.
They don't kind of, because this is my big beef with the DC movie universe, is a lot of times they try and make it more realistic or, like, take things down a notch. It's like Marvel's usually, like, full, like, just pedal to the metal. It's weird. It's a comic book. Just
well,
be weird.
But less so, like, with creatures. Like, the creatures, I mean, yeah, you go to, like, the Frost Giants and stuff, but they still have a very, I guess this is good design, bad design. Like, they're not afraid to go for, like, the big, crazy Frost Giants. It's not just, like, a 10-foot-tall dude who's blue.
Yeah.
The problem is it looked like a human with prosthetics on his back. It didn't. The like spikes or hair on his back, the dreads, whatever we want to call them, didn't feel like
they were an extension of his being.
A natural part of him, because like hair on a normal person just like flows off the head, some people may have pull like a Trump and it just like looks like what is that doing.
Sure.
But it went too big and too out. Like, I think if they'd shrunk them all by about 50%.
I agree.
Because I actually really liked what they did with the face. I thought the face looked really threatening and scary. But that it was, I couldn't stop looking at
which hair. So disappointing because supposedly they had tapped into what they did for Reyna, and Reyna looked amazing.
Reyna looked fantastic.
That makeup was awesome.
Yeah. It was smaller. That's the thing is that this was what the difference between the comic book Inhumans and the on screen Inhumans. That they the main thing. I mean, to almost to counter your point is that most Inhumans in the books are very not.
Yeah, do not look human
like,
at
mutants
all.
Mutants look very human.
Unless you're Morlocks.
I mean, there are a few here and there, but like by and large, they look human. Until Inhumans are the reverse. Whereas there's a few who look more or less human,
which
but
Daisy lucked
most
out.
Most of them are pretty extreme.
A human that turns into a bulldog that can teleport people.
But so far, it's really just been Reyna.
It's been Gordon.
Gordon. Yeah. It's Reyna and Gordon.
But again, to be fair, we haven't seen very many Inhumans who had gone through the transition.
Well, but now we've seen a room of them. Because now look at
and they all
Lincoln,
looked human,
Jiaying.
But they were also being operated on. So.
Yeah, but like other than the holes in their chest, they looked. I thought there was one who had some facial
stuff. Yeah,
but
that's what I thought too.
But like there was one like. So it's three people out of, like,
and
we've seen about 10.
And we've also
bodies.
Seen an afterlife, and we have no idea how many people in afterlife. There was that multiple girl who looked mostly human.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really get it. And I think that's just a budgetary thing.
Yeah,
and
that,
100%. And I get that, but, so, and I guess, I guess they wanted to go all out
on
Lash, but, like, if they can, there's no reason to stop to not. If it didn't work out, like you could absolutely scale it back,
and no one would be like, "Hey, those spikes were bigger last week." Like one would notice.
And the thing about again, Marvel has been really great about embracing what it is in terms of its MCU, in terms of costume design and makeup, but like. All of the MCU costumes have been really good, and all of the makeup design has been really good. So I guess, but this is the first thing that's not CGI that isn't supposed to really look human. Because even Ronan, who was a Kree, you know, he's just a blue guy wearing kind of samurai kind of chainmail getup with a giant hammer. He's still being played by a guy. Still very humanoid. So I want to give them a lot of credit, like you said, Zach, for attempting to create a look that's very similar to the comic book, but something got lost in translation.
Yeah. But what we learn about Lash is at least he's very strong. He can survive being a double team attacked by both
Lincoln and Daisy.
I feel like if Mac got a shotgun axe, I feel like
that
he
was
would.
An amazing.
Such a good
line. Such a good line.
Yeah.
So, would this be a shotgun that shoots axes or a shotgun that doubles as an axe?
It immediately made me think of a Punisher Max panel where it's him shooting a gun that shoots swords.
Of course. Of course he has that. I'm picturing.
Or an axe that shoots bullets.
I'm picturing a shotgun that has like a slight cover on the handle. And so you're like holding it and it's like. Bam, and then like he flips around, throws the cover off, and the handle just is an axe.
I'm imagining just duct taping an axe to the barrel of a shotgun.
Well, basically that, but like manufactured.
Dead Island style.
Yeah.
I like it. For those of you who watch the Ruby panel that I'm on, the joke in that show is that it's also a gun. All of the weapons are also guns. So I'm picturing like a regular axe, and then all of a sudden it transforms into a gun. That's what I'm picturing.
Did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer have an axe gun?
I think he did.
Like
I'm gonna have to rewatch that movie.
I feel like he might have had an axe gun.
Blocked a lot of that movie out.
As did I. I blocked a lot of that movie.
It's so
what
great.
What if it's like a bayonet where it's a shotgun and it's just like on top, like facing up,
well,
is
guys,
an axe?
Yeah.
I want them to make it for the show.
Please
I'm
do.
Willing to bet 100%. If we did a Google search for gun axe, I bet in the medieval ages, like,
I'm
they
sure
just made
Final
so
Fantasy
many
weapons.
Guns and axes. Like, I bet they've got, like, all of these weird swords, like, from, like, medieval times.
You know what I want to do? I want to ask our fans to send us shotgun axe fan art. I just googled axe shotgun.
The results are amazing.
Guys, please, do it at home. I ask you just as a personal favor, please send me your shotgun axe fan art because this is something I need in my life. Anyway, basically we get this, you know, this image of Lash, and we know he's tracking down Inhumans. We know that he's responsible for at least 5 deaths prior to entering the hospital.
Yeah.
And we know that he's probably not going to stop since he's a force to be reckoned with. And he's also really quick.
Yeah.
He pieced out of there, and he can just tear through walls like nobody's business.
He just melts things, yeah.
So where did he go? He's huge.
Yeah, where's he going to hide? Well,
where's he going to hide?
Dang Super Saiyan cosplay hair going to
really
hide?
Camouflage that hair.
He's just following Kongs. He's following Kongs around the country.
No one will ever suspect.
He's getting 3rd place in all their contest competitions.
Like, I'm not even registered. Like,
that's funny.
I think something that happened, number one, a thing with Coulson is you found that simulation where, like, how much containment, and it was 17 months until it was 100% containment of the Terrigan. All of the Terrigan that got released into the ocean.
We can call it an outbreak.
Yeah, the outbreak. Yeah. Also, I think it's important to say that he had a Grumpy Cat mug.
Oh, yeah.
And,
we saw that last season.
Yeah, we saw it last season. I'm happy
Fitz
it's
held
back.
It, too.
Yeah, Fitz held it, too. I'm glad the Grumpy Cat mug is back. But that's like I feel like that is also kind of that's a deadline now that we've got in the show, where it's like they've got 17 months to fight this, or
it's all over the world because it's just contained to the U.S. right now.
That fish oil company has a really good distribution network,
right?
If their product is going all around the world.
A lot more people are eating fish oil.
Because at the very beginning of this, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's super convenient that it's just America." But no, by the end of this whole thing, it's going to be all over the world.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's just like it's not just the fish oil. Yeah, what else did those
fish?
It's in the
atmosphere.
Yeah, it's it's possible that the wildlife, like you were saying, fish in the ocean that are being fished and cooked up for people.
Yeah, I wonder if evaporation. Do you think Lash is a fish oil inhuman or so? What we know of the show version of Lash is he is going around killing a bunch of Inhumans.
I don't think he's a fish oil Inhuman because he used the word Inhuman.
Yes.
He knows what this is.
Yeah.
So either this happened to him and there happened to be an Inhuman nearby or a SHIELD official nearby that explained it to him and he's like, okay, cool, I'm going to kill everyone who's like me for some reason. Or he was somebody who was maybe exiled from Afterlife or who just wasn't at Afterlife at the time when it went down.
Or a former...
And that's why he's looking for Lincoln, because maybe Lincoln has something to do with that. Yeah.
He could have been like a former person at like one of the high council, the elders, elders. That's
or it could be them. Or it could be like a member of New SHIELD that got turned into a new human. Or an inhuman.
new human.
Well,
in the
books, after the Terrigen dispersal, the new wave of inhumans is called new humans.
Yeah. But he could be like a member of New SHIELD or even Old SHIELD that knows what inhumans are and like has been exposed to fish oil and gone after him. But I like the idea that he's been around for a while.
Yeah. I think I heard that his kind of shtick in the comics was that he was kind of tracking down Inhumans to see who was worthy of being an Inhuman. And if that's the way they're going, then he's probably tracking down these new Inhumans and determining for himself whether or not he thinks they are worthy. And then if they're not, he just kills them.
Yeah.
So that's my guess. But yeah, we actually had a comment in the hashtag, a question for everybody from Jillian Davila, and I apologize. Actually, that wasn't the right one. You guys, I'm having a hard time.
Well, we got one. We got one other question.
Go ahead.
Are any of us shipping Morse code or Bobby and Sky?
That was actually in line with the question that I'm trying to find right now, was whether or not we think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be kind of moving forward with any LGBT storylines in, you know, with that type of shipping.
Okay. I just want to clarify.
I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm
Morse code? Is that Gemma and
Bobby? I was thinking Daisy because she's a...
Hacker. Okay.
We forgot all about that. Like,
I know.
She does not use her hacking powers like she
used
to.
Well, they did at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Actually, there was the great thing that is, we didn't really talk about how much about Mac and Daisy working together.
Yeah.
They're a really cool
team. They're a
team.
Good team, yeah.
Which I thought it was weird at first.
Muscle. Yeah, he's more of a teddy bear.
It's so funny because he has such a distrust of the Inhumans and alien technology, and of Lincoln. Like, they made it very clear that Mac and Lincoln do not like each other at all. So,
but that's why Coulson put him in charge of it, because he's going to question. Whereas Daisy now is like totally like gung-ho about it. Like, she's like, yeah, let's get him in here, and like, we'll train him up and like put him on the streets. Form a secret
and
team
Mac is
of
like,
fighters.
You're gonna get shot in the head. You go out there. Yeah. Like, that is the reality.
Yeah.
But it means that they're gonna approach, that team is going to approach every angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that even though he's very apprehensive about alien technology and the stuff that's happening around, you know, around the world, that he still views Daisy as his partner. There's no question about that. He trusts her and knows where she stands.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like the most obvious like coupling would be Lincoln and Daisy. Like, I feel like they kind of hinted at that last year, and it could still happen. Like,
I think it's a possibility. Maybe that they're showcasing this conflict between the two of them. They're trying to make it not so obvious.
Yeah,
but I think it's more likely to happen than anything else.
I think a lot of people shipped Gemma and Daisy. I was going to say Sky, but because that's what it was at the time. But yeah, I think a lot of people shipped Gemma and Daisy together prior to Gemma being all anti, you know, anti-powers and anti-inhuman. Mm-hmm. I think throughout a lot of season one and throughout the first half of season two, that's something that people shipped. I don't know if they kept doing that when she was kind of on this anti-inhuman train that she was on for a little bit.
Yeah, and her willingness, like, she's considering Fitz, like, going out with Fitz.
Yeah.
So that's more, I mean, yes, she could be bisexual.
Sure.
It's more of a clear that, like, they want to push those two together.
Yeah, they're definitely kind of steering more in certain directions.
That's
love that they bring Joey in, because I like that they have an actual LGBT character. And who knows? Maybe he and Hunter could end up together by the end of this.
The thing is, though, at this point, there's not really any triangles right now. Even, like, possibility triangles. Like, Trip was, like, causing a bunch of them last year, because there were people shipping Gemma and Trip, and people shipping, at the time, Sky and Trip.
BJ
I only
Britt
call
is
her
very
Sky
because
Skip is a great...
There's so much chance for romance.
Well, and here's the thing is, we have... I mean, not to diminish anyone's ship or anything like that, because we get ship happy here, but the show itself seems to have taken the attitude that we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Especially last season, there was so... Yeah, there was a lot of romantic tension, and there was a lot of anger at, like, certain, you know, and distrust of, like, exes and people who maybe didn't have returned feelings. But, like, for the most part, it was, we have to take down Hydra, and then there was this giant alien threat that had to be dealt with, and the show was going at such a fast pace that romance, when it popped up, was always like, oh, yeah, that's right. There are relationships in this show. I forgot. So maybe now that, like, again, the show has kind of steered away from the darkness of season two, maybe it's going to start kind of retreading those things, especially since May was still off on vacation with her ex-husband.
He's lost his right hand as well as his left hand. He's on his third hand as well. I love that. Like, he can't decide on what hand he wants.
Anyway, do you guys have any other comments about this week's episode? Because it was just phenomenal and amazing.
All I want to say is, Hunter is hunting Ward.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he is now the hunter.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and use that to go into predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Sweet, sweet music.
And also, Joey looks a lot like Ward to me. In certain angles.
He does.
At
he
certain
does.
Angles, I was like, was this purpose?
You know,
on purpose?
You know, with beard hat, yeah. Yeah.
I had the same thought. You're not alone. Okay. You're not alone.
Okay. So, okay, we got the preview for next week. We know a couple big things. May is back for one. Thank goodness, because, you know, she's sorely missed. Grant is, you know, he's right where we left him. He's rebuilding Hydra. And, you know, it looks like he's rebranding Hydra a little bit. It looks a little, you know, the logo looks a little different.
Yeah.
And then we get the return of Elliot Randolph, who was the Asgardian from season one. That's even going back a little further.
Whoa.
Yeah. Cool. I was never expecting to see him again. And here he is. I'm super excited.
I mean, if they need to go to Hala... Let's say every time I say it, I feel like I'm being like.
I feel like I'm gonna eat some bread.
Yeah.
And we saw some Hebrew writing today. So, when you said "hollow" earlier, I was like,
what? Yeah. What if Fitz just misread it? Actually, like "hollow." Like I just really like bread.
I just really like this bread.
I've been on this gluten-free thing
for
a while.
It was a recipe on the back.
It's a Friday.
Yeah. Was anyone else frustrated that Fitz just was like, there's just one word on this? He doesn't do, like, a spectral analysis or, like, blue light.
He was driven by desperation and whatever.
Well,
he
didn't
even taste it.
Having been told multiple times that, like, he needs to accept that she's gone, and then instead of instructions on what the monolith is, he just gets one word, and that word is death. We can understand why he reacted the way he did. But on the other hand, we were like, turn it over. Maybe there's some stuff on the back. Like, maybe it says death. Flip it over. It's only the beginning. I've seen that before. Like, it makes sense to me. But yeah, you bring up a good point that he gave up on that very quickly. But again, it was 100% understandable.
Yeah.
But sure. I think if they need to get to Hala... going to an Asgardian for help getting across the galaxy.
Use that Bifrost.
Well, especially since the monolith clearly isn't taking anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody else at the moment.
It's still solid, but something is going to happen to give off information that Gemma is actually somewhere off-world because they've made this realization. Like, we see that in the preview, that they know she's somewhere else, that she's not gone.
I'm going to make a prediction that Roz is not the leader of the ATLU. This is just a crazy...
ATCU. Sorry, I know my C could be misinterpreted as an
L. ATCU. I'm going to say that this is just a crazy prediction because in the time between there was Ultron... And Ultron is kind of famous for never dying. And I'm going to say that possibly Ultron might be the one who is running the ATCU as like a shadow thing. I feel like there's going to be some
sort
of Ultron.
That is a swing.
I'm taking a swing. Folks, I'm not holding back anymore. I'm going to say Ultron is running the ATCU, or there's going to be something where like someone's got a jump drive with Ultron's backup on it, and they're going to have to get it. Like,
Eventually, I think, there's going to be a jump drive somewhere.
There's
got
to be a jump drive.
I would love to have James Spader in this show.
It'd be fantastic.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I nothing would make me happier, but I don't think that's the case, Jesse. I'm sorry.
There have been plenty of Marvel stories where Ultron's been the guy who's been running everything, even though they were good guys and they didn't know it.
Well, yeah. I remember back in season one, Zach, when you were making predictions that Skye was actually Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel.
Yeah. I remember that too.
So who knows?
Because Phil Coulson could have easily been Phil Lawson. It sounds crazy now, but at the time.
But sure. You made a wonderful guess that she would eventually have Inhuman superpowers, which is exactly what we got. Not in the way that you had predicted, but it's what we got. So who knows, Jesse? It might not be that far-fetched.
Doesn't seem that crazy to me.
It would be an interesting way to tie in like more from the MCU.
Yeah.
I think one big MCU tie-in I think we're going to get this year is... I briefly mentioned it earlier, but... spoiler alert, it's a small spoiler alert for Ant-Man, but there is at one point, a vial of Pym particles gets away with a Hydra agent.
Yeah.
Without going into more detail, that happens. They clearly, they even said in the original script, Scott Lang, punches the guy and takes it away. And then, like, somebody decided to let him get away with it. I feel like this is where...
Revisit that later.
Yeah, this, yeah. I think, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's going on S.H.I.E.L.D.
That could definitely go on S.H.I.E.L.D. for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. See some pin particles.
I like it.
Shrinking people left and right.
Yeah, I mean, but who knows what with the Inhumans you could do.
Yeah.
We could have a Honey, We Shrunk the Kids episode. It would be so great.
Giant Cheerios, that's what we need in the show.
Mini fits. Pocket-sized fits.
Ants. Friendly little ants, but the mean scorpion.
Well, someone actually left a comment on our recap, and I think their prediction was... Well, I don't want it to happen is actually a pretty good one. So we know what happened to Agent 33 last season. How, you know,
that
unfortunately,
was a thing.
Yeah. She's a goner, thanks to May. And, you know, she's on vacation and Ward is out there. And I'm sorry, I forgot who commented this, but they're predicting that Ward's going to come back regardless of Hunter's hunt for him. And he's going to try to seek revenge on May. Because obviously she killed Kara, and instead of going after May, because it'd be too obvious that he'd be going after Andrew, which
killing
would be
him.
Terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it makes
perfect sense because I don't see why Andrew would be around anymore. Why he like the necessity of his character and his like job.
He's a psychiatrist though, and he's had extensive experience with S.H.I.E.L.D. He could actually be a very important asset in terms of helping people who are
transition,
in human transition.
Yeah.
I actually would love for him to come back onto the show to be a regular for that function.
I would love to as well, but I don't know. It just makes more sense to me.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that Ward wouldn't go after him because in his own warped mind and, you know, he's constantly looking for other people to blame. Of course, May is going to be the person he blames. And in his mind, it's you are responsible for the death of the woman I love, even though he was the one that pulled the trigger. So I'm going to... You know, I'm going to take away the person you love.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stands to reason.
I'm king of the dummies. I just put together that Ward is another word for S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, a ward.
It is. And, it totally is.
And he's on the show S.H.I.E.L.D. Thank you, Stephen Lemieux. Call me king of the dummies.
My other big prediction, Lash, I think... is going to go after having, because his whole thing is he's seeking out the strongest of the Inhumans.
Yeah.
I think after facing Daisy and Lincoln, those two are obviously very strong.
Yeah.
I think he's going to seek out the two of them first, Lincoln. And through that, we're going to get back to his Inhuman City, which the name is escaping me. I'll have it next week. But he has his own little Inhuman
colony.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a
of,
little colony.
Like, the strong Inhumans.
Yeah. It's Jakarta.
Jakarta.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Cuz yeah, we know there's more than one.
Yeah.
So I, on the one hand, I'm loving all of these predictions and I'm really excited to see where we're going. On the other hand, I'm wondering what, you know, just given what they did to us over the past two seasons, I'm wondering at what point this season they're going to pull the rug out from under us, because season one, it was Hydra, and, you know, the whole clairvoyant thing and Ward actually being a double agent. And in season two, it was that real S.H.I.E.L.D. was a thing. And then they pulled the rug out from under us a couple other times, you know, when it turns out Jia Ying is this crazy mad woman. And so I'm wondering at what point this season they're going to pull the rug out from under us. Because they even killed Whitehall halfway through last season, this big, bad Hydra person. So I'm wondering if Lash isn't just going to go out the window when we get to the mid-season finale, and then the real big bad of the season is going to show up.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
I mean, the thing with the whole Inhuman and tracking them, and I'm kind of worried. I'm not really worried because I trust the writers since season two. They've been fantastic, and the showrunners. It kind of sets up for a freak-a-week type show.
More episodic, yeah.
Yeah. And I hope, and I don't think they will make it that kind of thing where it's like just every episode is a new Inhuman that they're finding.
Not.
And like, oh, this one can turn into rubber bands.
I hate to compare the two,
but they made that mistake with Gotham and it was terrible.
I don't think they're going there. I mean, look, they've set up the option. They could do that.
Yeah.
But it does, this episode, because of just the amount that they spent with Joey,
yeah,
which wasn't that much. I don't think that's where we're headed.
Neither do I.
If we're gonna build like a team of random Inhumans, I think we're just gonna like grab them all at once, and then. But they did say Secret Warriors is gonna be the quote was a slow burn.
Yeah,
so we're not gonna get that storyline for a while. It'll be cool when we do. You're right. I don't think that's where the turn is. I think there's something we are just lurking. Not expecting.
Yeah. Exactly. That isn't apparent yet, but we'll get to it. Any final thoughts? Because we're getting the wrap up music.
Nope.
We're good.
Good.
Well, folks, we want to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. It is so, so good to be back. We want to hear what your guys' predictions are for this coming season. And again, don't forget to comment on iTunes and you'll get a shout out on the show. Joyce, where can the people go if they want to find out more?
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at @JayAzuri. Hope to see you on there.
Thanks so much for geeking out with us, guys. I'm Zach Wilson. You can follow me on Twitter at @ThatZachWilson. Whole bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. Follow me along on Twitter to get the specifics.
I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter at @JessKlein1. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, I'm doing live comedy all over the place.
And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @TheMenguin. That's @TheMenguin. Also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. And be sure to check out the Movie Chick News Review Show. And I always want to put review in there, even though it's just movie news show every Tuesday. So thank you guys so, so much for tuning in. And we will see you all next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.